Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017. I don't think we here in the West can really even imagine this. We have our little skirmishes about religious freedom and about the free exercise of religion, but here in the United States and for most Christians in the West, we simply have not experienced for generation after generation after generation any real impingement on the freedom of religion, much less any real, genuine governmental hostility toward Christians. There are many Christians in the world for whom that is not just their life's experience today. It may be part of their recent history as well. In the former Soviet Union, Christianity was essentially outlawed. We're going to be talking about Lutheranism in the former Soviet Union on this Friday afternoon, January the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us to do so, Bishop Vsevolod Litkin. He's bishop of the Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's going to be speaking 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, January the 14th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Bishop Litkin, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How would you describe the current state of confessional Lutheranism in the former Soviet Union?
Well, it is difficult to say about it in short, because, of course, former Soviet Union is a totally different place. So there is Russia, for example, and in Russia there are two confessional Lutheran church bodies, Church of Ingria, that is our older sister, and our Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church. But generally, in Russia, Lutheranism is very small denomination. It is, of course, because of our tragic history, because Lutheran Church was totally destroyed in Soviet Union. In Russia, two confessional Lutheran churches present at this time, and they both are quite small. But if to speak about Baltic states, for example, so largest Lutheran church that keeps Lutheran confessions is Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia, and there is also Lutheran Church in Lithuania that is also confessional church. There are some confessional Lutherans in other former Soviet Union republics, but their churches, as churches in Russia, are not large.
Let's talk about what you mentioned there just a moment ago, and that is the near destruction of Lutheranism in the former Soviet Union. How would you tell that story? How did it begin for Lutherans when the Soviet Union began repression of religious freedom?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that generally Lutheranism is a very old religion in Russia. If to remember our history inside of Russian Empire, first Lutherans came into Russia just after the Lutheran Reformation, and first Lutheran church building was dedicated in Moscow at 1576. And Lutheran church grew up very quickly, and she included about 10% of citizens of Russian Empire, let's say 100 years ago, before so-called Russian Revolution. But after the Russian Revolution, situation in our country was dramatically changed. A new government, new Soviet government, began to destroy Christianity, and according to the statistics, just for first 4 years of communism in our country, 360,000 of clergymen, nuns, and monks were killed. And it was only beginning of persecutions in the Soviet Union. And of course, such a huge number includes mostly Russian Orthodox Church clergymen, but Lutheran Church was also under repressions, and Lutheran Church in Soviet Union lost all her church buildings, lost everything. Everything was confiscated, and all pastors were executed, were sent into gulags. And the last Lutheran pastor in Soviet Union was killed in a prison at 1940. So in our territory, where we live in the former Soviet Union, and Lutheranism was totally destroyed. And only because of help from Lutherans in Latvia and Estonia, Lutheranism returned back into Soviet territory. Little bit, or how to say, it returned in little, let's say, the end of 60s and the beginning of 70s last century. Right now, Lutheran Church in Russia is very small, and we are a very small denomination.
So with the pastors executed or imprisoned, with the church properties and buildings confiscated by the government, what did the Lutheran faithful do during those years? How did they, not just in terms of survival physically, but in terms of church and Christianity, how did they survive?
Well, majority of them did not survive, sadly. So many Christians, they were just murdered in concentration camps and so on. But in some remote places and villages, some Lutherans survived, so they tried to keep their faith. Of course, it was not easy. Some of them, they still had old Christian books, Bibles or Luther small catechisms, sometimes some agendas. So they read it, they try to teach their children, but all these things were illegal, of course, and sometimes really dangerous, because it was a time in Soviet Union when it was prohibited to baptize children, for example, and everybody who baptizes can be just arrested and sent into gulags. I can tell you this story to explain this situation. At the end of 90s, we received a phone call from a Roman Catholic priest from Irkutsk. Irkutsk is a big town near Baikal Lake in the eastern Siberia. So this Roman Catholic priest described their program that they have in Roman Catholic Church in Siberia. They are traveling a lot by the remote villages. They try to find some Roman Catholics or people with Roman Catholic roots who survived during the time of Soviet Union. And once they found a Polish Lutheran village in a deep forest in Irkutsk region. So they called us, and we came to Irkutsk. We traveled with this Roman Catholic priest. It was a long drive, first through taiga. So finally we arrived to this village, and I met with people who live there. So we spoke with them. It was a very old man who still leaded a kind of prayer meetings for villagers. So they told me how their life looked like. So they said that the last Lutheran pastor who visited them did it at 1935. So I was first Lutheran pastor for 60 years who visited this village. And, of course, people just wondered to meet me. So they told me that about half of the population of this village was arrested at the end of 40s because of their Christian faith. others who still lived in this village, they tried to do all religion things very quietly and secretly, because there are some special people who often walked around houses of villagers and looked through windows. So if they saw anybody who is praying, for example, so next day he or she is arrested. So it was very difficult time, and it was a time when nobody did anything. So they did not pray. So they just kept their faith somewhere inside, because everybody was in fear. So little bit later, an old man, he was layman, he began to invite believers into his home, and they tried to read some old books, and they tried to pray. Also, he baptized some children, but of course, as he is layman, he baptized them, but it was never Holy Communion there. So I served Holy Communion for them, and when I asked them if they know what Holy Communion is, one old lady told me she said that she was never communed in her life, but she knows from her mother what Holy Communion is, because her mother told her, and she just quoted by heart a portion from Luther's Small Catechism about Holy Communion. So she knew what it is. And she said also that now I met a Lutheran pastor, now I can die. So it was one of such stories. But imagine that there are many of such villages. And for us, it is a big challenge, because we believe that we must visit these people, but it is difficult for us because of finances, firstly, of course, because such travels need some funds. But anyway, there are still many villages with people with Lutheran roots, with people whose relatives came into Siberia at the end of 19th century or at the beginning of 20th century. So they are still living in some deep forests in Taiga, in some villages.
Bishop Vsevolod Litkin is our guest. We're talking about Lutheranism in the former Soviet Union. Sounds like there was survivors from the Soviet attempts to extinguish Christianity. Was it something to build upon? We'll talk about that after this.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, January the 13th, we're talking about Lutheranism in the former Soviet Union. Bishop Vsevolod Litkin is our guest, Bishop of the Siberian Evangelical Church, Lutheran Church. Bishop, sounds like from the story you told before the break that after the Soviet Union was done, even long after it was done attempting to extinguish Christianity, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was something to work with. How in the world do you rebuild?
Of course, it is. This work is still incomplete because we need to work hard, but we have still have less pastors than we need for this work. Some former Lutheran parishes, people who survive in some of places in former Soviet Union, they began to restore their parishes. Also, because of missionary work, some new congregations began to exist. So we are trying to care for these people. It is very good that we have our seminary in Novosibirsk, our seminary prepares new clergymen for the ministry in Siberia. So because of support from Concordia Theological Seminary, we have a very good faculty, and we try to work as we can.
Talk about that, why it is so vitally important that the people who were once oppressed under the former Soviet Union have their own pastors, their own parishes.
I think that every Christian needs to go to church, of course, and it is a goal of our Christian life to be with Christ. It means to be where altar is, where liturgy is, where body and blood of Christ are given to us for our salvation. So, of course, if a person is educated as Christian, he or she knows that he or she must be in the church. So people are looking for church. They are looking for pastors who can help them to be saved, let's say. So people are looking for church.
Why is it insufficient for, say, the United States to say, well, we're just going to send some pastors over there? Why do these pastors need to be from these places, indigenous to these places?
Well, you know, firstly, because in Russia, anyway, we have a very long Christian and in particular Lutheran tradition. So Russia is not such a territory where to send missionaries. And generally, we are opposing to this idea if missionaries from abroad are coming to Russia, because we don't need missionaries. We need our own pastors who speak the same languages as others, who understand their needs, who can live the same life as people around. So we need more pastors to be educated. So we need people who can come we need clergymen who can come to people and speak the same language with them, and to be with the same mentality, let's say. So we need help in a sense of teaching. We need people who can help us to teach our future pastors. So this is of first importance.
Would you say that there are enough pastors, and the church is growing that way, or is there a shortage of pastors there in these churches?
It is not enough, and we need more pastors, of course, because imagine how huge the territory of Russia is, and how large distances are. In our church, many of our pastors are traveling all the time. So they, for example, every Sunday, they serve one service, and then they are going 400 miles to a different place and serve there. It is very difficult, but anyway, 100 miles is nothing in Siberia, but what if 1,000 miles, for example? So we still have some congregations where we do not have constant pastors. And also there are some opportunities to start new congregations in some places where Lutherans are living. So it is really big need in clergymen in Russia.
Would you say that the government of Russia is friendly to Lutheran Christianity in its borders, or to religious freedom in general?
It is difficult to say. I cannot say that we have religious freedom in Russia, but Lutherans are more or less respectable in our country, mostly because of our history, because historically in Russian Empire, two religious church bodies were respectable by government, Russian Orthodox Church, of course, and Evangelical Lutheran Church of Russian Empire. Right now, Russian Orthodox Church is a state church. It is supported by government. But it is still that Lutherans are also, let's say, respectable. And we have religious freedom. Some minorities, like Pentecostals, for example, they experience difficulties in our country. But Lutherans are in good shape in this situation.
How are Lutherans treated by Russian Orthodox leaders?
Well, mostly Russian Orthodox leaders, they do not care, so they let us do what we want to do. So we do not have problems with Russian Orthodox Church. But of course, let's say in general, of course, religious freedom in Russia is dependent on what Russian Orthodox Church thinks about it.
Talk about the need for ecumenical partners, for the continued building of fellowship between Lutherans in the former Soviet Union.
I think we have very good relations among us. We have very good relations with Church of Hungary in Russia, and with Church of Latvia, Church of Lithuania, with Church of Estonia. So I think Lutherans in former Soviet Union are in very good relations, let's say. Biggest problem is our large territory in Russia. So, of course, we cannot meet often with our brothers because of distances, because we are, for example, we in Siberia are really far from others. But we are in good relations. We feel every time that we are brothers in Christ.
What about international ecumenical partners, partnerships with confessional Lutherans worldwide?
There is the same problem, of course, because of distances, because when many visitors come into Russia, they mostly are visiting, for example, Moscow or St. Petersburg, and it is really far from Siberia. But we have a lot of friends worldwide, and we have a very good friends here in Missouri Synod, and we feel a lot of support and prayers from Missouri Synod, and especially in the matter of education, of course, because Lutheran Church Missouri Synod helped us to establish our seminary, and again, it is of first importance for church. So we have very good relations, I think.
What would you then say are the biggest challenges facing your church, the Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church, and other confessional Lutherans in that part of the world?
You know, our biggest challenge, of I think, let me say in a banal way, it is poverty. So most of our parishioners are very poor people, and then church is very poor, and it of course it creates many difficulties for us for our work in Siberia. So this is, I think, biggest problem that we experience, but we try to do what we can with the help of our brothers and sisters from other churches.
Do you see a time in the future when that long legacy of confessional Lutheranism that you talked about earlier, that long history of it, can again be restored?
Firstly, of course, we cannot say anything about future. Only God knows how can it be. And especially in our country, in Russia, we cannot say what can be in future. So, because we don't know what our government will invent next, because some of new laws that our government produced are really strange. So we do not know how our future, what our future will look like in our country. Of course, a Lutheran church will be never such large as she was before the Russian Revolution. Sadly, this time gone. So, because before the Russian Revolution, about 10% of citizens of Russian Empire were Lutherans, and right now, Lutheranism in Russia is just very, very small religious minority. So, I can only hope that we will grow, and new parishes will be opened in the towns where Lutherans are living right now. So, and new pastors will work in there.
Bishop Vsevolod Litkin is bishop of the Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's going to be speaking at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, January the 14th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He's also going to be preaching at the Divine Service there tomorrow night at 6. The public is invited to attend both Bishop Litkin's presentation and Saturday night worship at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Bishop Litkin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Speaking of worldwide Lutheranism, Luther Academy is committed to serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth. You can find out about their work at lutheracademy.com. Ask to receive their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com. Chris Roseborough is our guest on the other side of the break. We're going to be doing our regular series, This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, talking about testing prophetic words with the Bible. Chris Roseborough from Fighting for the Faith and This Week in Pop American Christianity is next. Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2016. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 9 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2017.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Oh, morning star, how morning star, shine far and bright across the light of
glory. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.